This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Capitol Grill.
Eat there.
Hello, this is Scott, often logged in as Kid Dakota in the chat room. Somewhere 3.5-4 hours north of Effingham, Illinois, in beautiful North Aurora, you are watching Living in Las Vegas on the Vegas Video Network.
Living in Las Vegas starts now.
It's like co-hosting with a horse.
I mean, they're new shoes. I'm sorry if they plop a little bit.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas Podcast. And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was, Mr. Scott Whitney.
I mean, you could recognize him.
I have been recognized.
Yeah.
It's happened in grocery stores a lot of times.
Are you squeezing the produce?
Well,
remember that's what that one guy said to you?
Not supposed to. What?
The one guy, he said he didn't like being famous. He still had to go to the grocery store and squeeze the produce.
No, I don't recall that frightening conversation. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Don't Listen to This Show Anymore podcast. No, it's the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Oh, look at you. Hey, let me be the first to congratulate you because you're watching or listening to the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Vegas, which means that we're not only going to cover what it's like to live here. Nope. What?
I went back to blue shirt and you went back to Hawaiian shirt. Yeah.
Look at that. How about that? La-da-dee. What the fuck happened there? Neat. Computers.
I was like, oh, I'm wearing a blue shirt again. This does not compute.
What the fuck happened? Did I lose my stream? Oh, you're such a...
Hey, and it's back to green.
That is so crazy. Yeah. It's been one of those technical days where everything's going just like you'd planned. Anyways, back to it. Hey, you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Applause, applause, applause. And congratulations, because you're watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas. It's actually from Las Vegas, which means that we're not only going to talk about what it's like to live here, which we will, but we're going to be talking about adventures here on the Strip, downtown, Fremont Street, all over this great groovy town. And by the way, if you're a visitor, if you're a tourist, if you're a fan of our fair city, hell, you might even want to live here. God bless your little heart. Well, this show's like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. All right, hey, we're live every Tuesday night. What time? 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. You know, when you move up, I'm like, oh, shit, again? No. VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. As our good friend Christina Aguilera says, come on over. Come on over, baby. Get yourself in the live chat. Some fantastic people. I got people showing up an hour before the big show. Why? Because they are a community of the bestest people in the whole wide world. Hell, they're all over the place. Where might I see some people from the live chat? Wayne?
You might see some people, and you might then finally get recognized from areas like...
Go up higher. I can see your mouse, and you're not even close to where
you're going. I'm not. Usually,
first time on the big show?
Hey, I was there the whole time. Much like we were, even though it looked like I was wearing a blue shirt.
Yeah.
Like Lady Gaga at halftime, my wardrobe changes are just like that. Hey, how about Las Vegas, Henderson, Oregon, Florida, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Washington, Michigan, California, and for some reason in all capital letters, Canada!
I was born in one of those states. Can you guess which one it was?
Canada?
Nope. Washington. Hey, by the way, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa. Buenas noches. How you doing? Hot stuff. I am the founder of the Vegas Video Network. I've been a professional online broadcaster since 2006. They said it wouldn't last. They're full of shit. So, hey, thanks for checking out the Vegas Video Network and, of course, checking out Living in Las Vegas. And I'm not alone. No, I'm never really alone when you got a buddy with you. And here's my buddy, ladies and gentlemen. It's Wayne Crowell, everybody.
Thank you. In the back row. You guys show up every week. I was born in Ohio, not one of those states. But
And we often usually have Ohio here. We probably do. I just didn't write it down. No reason. No technical problems going on. No issues anywhere. Hell, it's smooth sailing. By the way, this is brought to you by TriCaster. fuck you. I've had enough. Upgrade our software and then watch it stop working. That's a feature. Not really. Okay. Over and under, my friend.
Hey, well, of our own choosing, or what the new tech gods decide
right,
we're going to go?
Exactly.
Hey, let's go
as planned.
Let's go 72.
72. Okay, we got some new people, it looks like, in the live chat. We've got Izzy. He is the guitar player for Guns N' Roses. Great to have Izzy in the big show.
Welcome to the jungle, Izzy.
Welcome to the jungle, my brother. And it's good to see Ken back in the live chat. He's in Hawaii. He's going to be selling marijuana. I don't know what he's going to be doing there, but he's moving to Hawaii, the bastard.
Mm.
We don't like him because of that.
Oh.
Well, we do because...
Well, we will if he ships us some of that marijuana.
He's a nice guy. Also, thanks to Kid Dakota Scott for sending in the opening video. Fantastic. Our apologies for you for living a mere 3 hours north of Effingham, Illinois. Dance. This is your dance piece.
It is, because we have no inter-open video.
Go, Wayne.
Yeah.
Birthday party on...
Still no transition.
25th anniversary of Wayne's World. Did you know that?
I did not.
Party time.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one in,
there you go.
A couple months now.
Throwback.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today, Wayne? Well, the topic is this: changing the gambling age in Nevada to 18 years as opposed to what it is now, which is 21 years. So can we change it to 18 years? Will it pass? Will it pass? Yes, there is legislation on the books right now asking the legislators to change the age from 21 to 18. Now, you know, this. When I saw this, I thought to myself, you know, I remember when I was in high school, way, way back then. They just invented the wheel.
Yeah.
This was in 1979. I graduated high school. And the fun thing I did that summer of 79 is me and a buddy of mine, Mark Shear, we got in a car and we drove across the country to Canada, up to the Georgian Bay area. And part of the thing that we did during that drive, one of the most important stops in that drive, was a stop in Texas. You know why I stopped in Texas?
Because you guys had run out of weed and shrooms?
Nope. Didn't do weed and shrooms. Was a drinker in high school.
Mm.
Shocking as that might seem. No, because I wanted for the first time in my whole life to have a legal drink of alcohol. The drinking age in Texas at that time was 18 years old. Back then, each state had their own drinking age, and Texas was 18. So it was quite fun to drive to Texas and have a beer and not feel like I was going to be arrested.
So we did the same thing in Ohio. You go up to Canada. It was 19.
There you go. In Canada, that's right, Canada, because we went up to Canada and we drank like fish the whole time. Okay. And what was interesting about that is after that, I came home and hung out for a while, and then I went into the Air Force. And what a lot of people don't know is regardless of the drinking age in the state the Air Force base is, if you're 18 years old in the military, on a military base, you can drink, which is pretty cool. That's why I joined, by the way, is because I wanted to be able to drink. So legally, that's not true, of course.
But have a couple drinks, fly some planes. Nothing sounds wrong there.
So what's happening is you've got, you know, so what can you do at 18 right now? Well, you can buy cigarettes, right? You can go off to war.
Sure.
You can get shot.
Mm-hmm.
You can vote.
Mm-hmm.
So there.
You can shoot someone. Go buy a handgun.
And vote at the same time.
Well, no, I meant go buy a handgun. That's and right. Then, yeah.
There you go. So
maybe Nevada, hold up a 7-Eleven.
True. Can't argue with that. That's not legal, by the way.
Oh, okay.
We're not suggesting that.
Mm. The gun, though, purchasing the gun beforehand
could be legal.
Is legal.
Is legal. So a Nevada lawmaker wants to add gambling to the list of things that 18-year-old folks can do. Assembly Bill 86. Which is sponsored by Assemblyman Jim Wheeler from Minden. Where's Minden? I'm going to go north.
It's between Vegas and Reno. Right there in the heartland.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's...
Yeah, you don't they say the Minden, the heart of Nevada,
yeah.
You know?
We're in the middle of... Right between Vegas and Reno. So Google map that? Yeah, okay. So he wants to drop the legal age to gamble to 18... Now, this has been tried before in Nevada. Back in 2008, some folks tried to move it to 18, and it did not work. So first, what we're going to do today is we're going to debate this. We're going to talk a little bit about this. But first, the clear first step that we have to do from a research perspective is say, okay, what about other folks? What do other folks do other countries do when it comes to, for example, drinking and gambling and whatnot. And I thought, well, probably the closest country to look at would be England. Now, I did, if you do a search on the Wikipedia and look at gambling ages and you look at drinking ages, it's interesting. The average drinking age in the world is basically 18 years old. And now there's, of course, some exceptions. I tell you what, being a Muslim in Iran, you don't get to drink.
Mm. That's bizarre.
It's unfair.
Huh. I would not have expected that.
When you think Iran, you think
progressivism.
Progressivism, that's right. So the drinking age in the UK, 18 years old to drink. What's weird, though, is like you can be 16 and drink, and I think if it's beer and wine. And then it says something about you could be 5 years old and drink something. And I didn't quite understand what that was about, but made me want to move to the UK and raise children. No, that's not true. Gambling in the UK, 18 years old. So they're doing that. Mm-hmm. But wait, if you want to buy a scratch and sniff or a lottery ticket, you only have to be 16 years old.
Oh, we used to have those in Ohio.
Did you? But you, mm-hmm. you don't anymore?
I don't live there anymore. I mean, that was years ago.
Oh, they probably still have it.
Yeah, the great part was they had them at the horse tracks, and the horse races ran the slogan was every 19 minutes, the place goes crazy. Well, that means you've got 18 minutes of time in between. So they would have the vending machines of the scratch-off tickets
right
there. So, you know, you got a couple minutes to kill before the race. You buy some scratch-off tickets. Right. It keeps you busy.
That's exactly what they want you to do. Okay, so let's talk about this, the pros and cons. All right. Do you have, by the way, an opinion of this on this?
I have to say that I'm for it.
For it. Okay. So let's start with the for it argument. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. Why are you for it?
You know, it's so easy to point to the reasons you just mentioned. You know, you're forced to enlist as a male in the Selective Service at 18 because you can be drafted and go to war. You can, firearms, as we mentioned, you can possess and purchase at 18. You can kill someone with that. So I think there's a lot of responsibility voting, you know. I don't know. I can't remember if you mentioned that or not.
I did.
So there's all these responsibility things. You're graduating high school. Yep. You know, some people go to college. Some people aren't cut out for college. They enter the working world.
Yep.
So you can have kids at 18. Yep. You can buy a gun to protect those kids at 18.
You can have kids before you're 18.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you can do all these things.
Yeah.
And that are like a rite of passage. And once you hit that point, I think, I mean, this is gambling. You either have the money to gamble or you don't. If you don't have the money to gamble, this isn't a problem, in the sense that it's not. What am I trying to say? I mean, you have to be able to have the means to gamble in order to do so. Nobody is going to go give an 18-year-old a line of credit at the casino to start gambling. So if you can piss your money away, for lack of a better term, on other things, especially things that are deadly or could be, why can't you walk into a casino and say, hey, give me the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
All right.
Okay. And then sweat that out for
and three that quarters. That's the story, man. That's what everybody says. And I think that's a strong argument for that side. I mean, look, if you're out there running around doing things that get yourself killed, that's, of course, the military engagement thing. Fuck, let the guy, you know, play Wheel of Fortune. What the fuck do I care?
Right.
And that's a pretty standard argument. And I think it's a strong. And as I read articles about this, and I've read, you know, there's a bunch of news about this here locally, especially like on the RJ, you'll see, you know, the RJ is a great place to read, you know, the unwashed masses as they comment on things. And after somebody stops bashing Obama, which every comment has, because the vast majority who live here are idiots. But then you'll see this kind of argument. So I think that's a strong for argument. I think the challenge with this, and why I think this will ultimately fail, is because the truth is, I want everybody who's watching or listening to this to think back for a minute. Think back when you were 18 years old. Now, when I was 18 years old, just like my kids did when they were 18, they thought they knew everything. Guess what? So did I. When I became 21 years old, which is just a three-year difference, I looked back at my 18-year-old self and went, you know what? That guy was a bit of a dumbass. He really didn't know much.
I thought you were going to say at 18 you thought you knew everything, and at 21 you then knew you knew everything.
No. I actually looked back and thought, yeah, that 18-year-old self wasn't nearly as smart as he thought he was. And here's a news flash, ladies and gentlemen. My 21-year-old self, a dumbass. I actually don't think men know what the hell they're doing until they're just about 40. So to all the women out there who are dealing with men under 40, my apologies, because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They know not that which they mean to do. And that's not a bad thing. That's just the way the genes work. So the issue with an 18-year-old stepping in there and gambling, and there's two sides of your money issue. The first one is this. You said they can't. They're not going to get credit. And that's absolutely true. No casino is going to go, oh, Johnny, just fuzz face. Here's your $5,000 credit. Go have fun at the table. Mm-hmm. It's not going to fucking happen. But what will happen is they'll go to their credit card and they'll pull out cash advances on their credit card at 23% interest, and they will get fucking buried. The challenge with gambling is it is addictive, and you have to be mature to not let it be addictive. And by the way, mature people get addicted to it as well. So clearly, maturity isn't the only measure. Age isn't the only measure, but it sure as fuck is a measure.
So what you're telling me is they should not be allowed to cash advance a credit card and gamble because it will bury them.
Yeah, I think it's true.
But you have no problem with them getting buried by student loans so they can go get a poli sci degree?
First of all, you didn't ask me how I feel about that, but I can speak to that. I think that's stupid. I'm not a big proponent of going to college just because you're told to go to college. Clearly, I don't think that. I didn't go to college, and I'm doing all right. I think that's one of the greatest problems that our kids who are in that age right now are facing is they're buried with student debt. Now, this is not a student debt show, but, do I think that there should be a way to relieve that? Absolutely, I do, and that's another time to talk about. So I think that's leaving some kids to be forever fucked in their lives. Because I know people who are your age who are still paying off their student loans.
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck is that? How is that even possible? Well, I know how it's possible. How can that be allowed is the question. So,
maybe if they didn't pay, $10 a month on it.
Well,
they might get somewhere.
But that's part of the maturity issue in my look. Now, the argument against that is, but look at the UK. They're drinking at 18, they're voting at 18, and that place is doing just fine. And it is. Brexit aside, whether you believe or don't believe in Brexit, it would be interesting, by the way, to figure out what the age breakdown was on that vote, because everybody liked it until it happened, and then everybody was like, oh, fuck, what do we do? Mm-hmm. Very much like what's happening right now in our country.
Oh, parallels.
Very right. That's why I think we're very closely aligned. So the issue is safety. Young people just aren't smart, and it's not their fault, but there is something to be said to providing guidance to these guys. So it worries me that somebody can come in and do that. And I think, again, the addictive potential for that, I think, is problematic. Now, you go back and say, well, what about the UK? I wonder if, because the UK has been doing this for so long, it's not as special to them. Do you know what I mean by that? If I went to an 18-year-old and said, guess what? Mm-hmm. You can now go and gamble. It's special. It's mm-hmm. magic. And I think there's something, it's a Christmassy vibe that says, woohoo, we're going to go and do that. If you're in the UK, and it'd be cool if the folks who are watching or listening in the UK, let us know. Neil, specifically, let me know. this is nothing new. This is not new news to these guys. So I don't think that they give a shit as much. Plus, there's not really good places to gamble there.
The problem is the 21 is just such a made-up number.
It is.
You know, you've got United Kingdom, you were saying, at 18. Yep, yep. Canada is 19 for gambling and drinking. Yep. And you talked, you know, you used to be able to drink in Texas at 18.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you've got... I don't know if it's Mothers Against Drunk Driving formed and pressured, you know, Washington to up the legal age. But eventually you get the legal age now raised up to this number just pulled out of thin air, 21, because magically you're 3 years. I mean, I know you said your 21-year-old self looked at your 18-year-old self, but I don't know that those 3 years.
You don't think so? I think the difference between 18 and 21 is sizable.
Well,
sizable.
Now, I mean, what about 18 and 19? Because clearly Canada's having a good time up there. I mean, you talked about, things going well in the United Kingdom. Canada, you can drink.
I don't know if they're going well, by the way.
So you can go, you can be a 19.
There's an argument that there is a pretty high level of drinking problems in the UK as well.
Okay.
So it may not be going well. I don't know if it is or not. The difference between an 18 and 19-year-old is it's negligible. There's not a big difference, which is why Canada is saying 19 and the UK is saying 18. They're both the same thing, right? They're both a British thing, and they're like, 18, 19, fuck. It's a rounding error is kind of what they're saying, basically. But what the U.S. is saying is 21 is a better play. It is completely a random number.
Arbitrary.
Why not 25? Yeah, it's you're right. It's completely arbitrary. Why not 25? Okay, so seriously, look at yourself. When I was 18, I was a high school, punk with long blonde hair hanging out at the beach. When I was 21, I was in the Air Force. I was working on B-52 bombers. I had a serious fucking job. And that caused me to get more mature. Now, I was still 21 mature, and I look back, now I'm like, holy Christ, I'm surprised I didn't get killed 1,000 times. But there is a difference. So I understand that there is a difference. Clearly, there's a difference. The only question is, can people handle it? And the other question is it our responsibility to safeguard these people?
No.
So I'm
for personal responsibility.
And I am actually, this is the problem I have with this debate, is I am as well for personal responsibility. Like, I think you should be allowed to drink and do any drug you want to. I don't care what it is. You want to do heroin? Do heroin. Not my fucking problem. Do heroin. You want to do crack? Do crack. Meth? Go get some meth. I know. Go to the Naked City or whatever. You will find your meth. And this is brought to you by the good people at Naked City.
Naked City. Meth? We got that.
We got that. And we'll help you jump off the fucking strap while you're doing it. So I like the idea of saying, look, just go and do what you want to do, and it's on yourself. But I also want to make damn sure that we're not setting people up to get hurt. That's my issue. So I'm talking out both sides of my mouth here. I completely know this. I think it's a difficult decision, especially if you've had kids. You know what happens when somebody's 18 years old and they're shown the ultimate shiny penny, which is a problem of young people anyways. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Come to my house. Come to Vegas, which is the shiniest penny in the world. And they are the best shiny penny makers in the world. Come on in, said the spider to the fly.
Yeah, but there's something to be said. There's something to be said for you have to learn through experience. Mm. How do you know, not to touch the stove?
I agree.
Because you get burnt.
Yep.
And at 18, to even going back to your point that, they're going to cash advance a credit card and go to the tables.
I guarantee that
happens. How much credit? I'm sure it does. How much credit is Capital One giving an 18-year-old?
Probably 10 grand.
I don't even think that much.
I bet they do.
I've got credit cards that aren't 10 grand, and I have a 725 credit score.
Well, I don't know why that is. You need to talk to your people about that. But it's 5 grand. 5 grand's a lot of money.
It is.
Would you like to take a $5,000 debt right now?
No, nobody would.
No, fuck no. I wouldn't want
But would you rather they get older and they get more credit worthy? Now they've got a job because they left. Let's say they didn't go to college. Let's say they got out of high school. They went into the service. Or maybe they went into a construction trade. They're a construction worker. They're making good money now.
Yeah.
They're now all of a sudden they're 21. And now it's just, woo, now they've got money. Don't you think they could get hurt more from that point? They have more to lose
great question.
At 21
they have
than
more
18.
To lose. The problem is they do have 3 years of recognizing what it's like to pay bills. That's the difference. So you're forced, as long as you're not living with mom and dad, you're forced to go out in the world and fight for your own. So if you're out there and you're paying rent and you're paying for utilities and all the thing and paying for your car and paying for insurance, you have to pay for that shit. And you realize, I mean, this is a simple math thing. If I don't have any money, I can't pay my bills. If I don't pay my bills, I'll get evicted. That's not a feature. I guess I won't do that. When you're 18, you don't necessarily have that. When I was 18, I was still living at home when I turned 18. So I could have pissed away that money and it had been fine. Now, when I was 18, I didn't have a credit card. So when I turned 18, I didn't have a credit card. So I couldn't get that hurt. And I actually believe that today, credit card companies are much more comfortable in giving out credit cards than they used to. When I was in the Air Force 20, I got my first credit card and it was a Zales card or something like that. I bought a ring, an earring. And that's how I started establishing credit, right? So I'm not saying yes or no. I'm saying we have to be cognizant. So how about some limits if you're 18 years old? For example, the kinds of games or how much you're allowed to bet. Maybe you allow them to learn how this thing, because by the way, I had somebody say, oh, just let them play penny slots. Right. What you're hearing is,
yes, let them play pennies.
Please come in and play penny slots, young David. Don't be afraid of the fact that nobody bets a penny. We just call it penny slots.
Yeah, that's penny slots, $6 a spin. Good luck on that.
Right, welcome to penny slots. And be like, yeah, I'm going to hang out at the penny slots. Are you sure? Do you have that kind of money? It's penny slots. Yeah, yeah. You go ahead and hang out there and see if you're going to bet the game.
Penny slots. Oh, God. Whoever came up. And those, that's really? A fairly recent advent invention.
Probably in the last 5 years, maybe?
I'd say 10.
Okay.
Yeah, because I when I turned 19.
I don't remember having it when we first moved here.
They came on fast and strong. I remember being 19, going to the casino in Canada, and where all the college kids went at that time. We went upstairs because that was the lower limits, if you will. Yeah. It was the Big Nickel Mine, is what the casino in Windsor called it. Yeah. And you go up there, and it was nickels, and it was 15 cents.
Right.
You put it in. You know, you put in. It took dollar bills.
Right.
But you put it in your $5 bill, and you were doing 15 cents. You got your line across the middle, and then you know your X.
Yep.
And you play
three pay lines.
And then probably about a year and a half to 2 years later, that's when penny slots at least came up to Canada, because now Big Nickel Mine got all ripped out, and it was penny slots. And I think back then, you know, the max bet was maybe a buck and a quarter, and it was like, whoa, things got rich up in here. Now you go to the Wynn, and you're going to see penny slots that are $6.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because the other thing that you learned there is you were paying real money. See, that's the other thing that kids might not recognize. Why did they go away from coins and do the pay slips, or whatever they call those damn things, ticket in, ticket out things?
I mean, there's several reasons.
It's fake. One of them is it's fake fucking money. You don't see it anymore. You don't smell it.
It's not realized.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So when we were coming to Vegas before we moved here, when Melissa and I would come here, we would stay at, you know, the Aladdin, and we would get our bucket of quarters, and I would play one quarter at a time. Ooh. I was not there to win. I had the whole idea of bonuses and you got to pay full, completely foreign to me. I didn't really know anything about that until our friend Jackie said, oh yeah, you got to play. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Why would you want to do that?
Well, I got three cherries.
I'm like, I don't give a fuck. All I want to do is sit there and watch the pretty noises and make the money come out of the court. And I want my free drinks, goddammit. And that's all I went to do. So, you know, we had a limit. We're not going to bet more than, I forget what it was. I think it was $600 over the course of a vacation was our so, you know, if they saw us coming, the Whitneys, big spenders. No, I just wanted to be entertained by it. Today, you know, you don't sense the loss until your credit card company goes, yes, young David, you owe us $5,000. You did a cash advance. Not at the 15% that you think you're getting. It's 27%.
But listen, good luck to you. It's only $115 a month minimum payment.
Right, perfect. So when you're 50 and you're still paying on that, you might want to call your first kid MasterCard. Mm. So maybe you say to them, okay, you can gamble, but you can only play card games.
Poker.
Poker.
Mm-hmm.
Or 21.
Blackjack.
Blackjack, mm-hmm. Poker, you know, hold'em or something like that. Something that is slow, that forces you to think a little bit, and that a human can watch you and say, because they do that a little bit now. Good dealers will look at you and go, you know what? You might want to take a break. This might be a good time for you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Good dealers. Not all
the ones that haven't got fired yet for having a soul.
Yeah, right. So the ones that they talk like this all the time. but you know, that's, you want that kind of guy. You want somebody who provides guidance. Like we had that when my nephew came out here. We had a really nice dealer over at El Cortez providing, you know, here's what you want to do with this thing. Okay, you want to hold this. I have to do this. This is what, it was lovely, you know, and he lost. He lost $20. And he was like, wow, that was fast. And we're like, yep, that's how all of this has been built. Because of that comment. So thank you so much for going. Would you like a beer now? It's $2 here. So, yeah, I'm actually torn. Part of me is like, all right, you know, go ahead and gamble. I don't give a shit. No, we could use the money. And just like you said, you're old enough to fight. You're old enough to lose your own money, and you got to pay the consequences. But the truth is, you know, gambling debt has crushed, you know, a number of people. And I really wouldn't like to see that. I think it would be nice if there was some kind of educational guidance, and maybe there is in the UK, I don't know, that says, you know, you need to be kind of aware of these things if you're going to go down in gambling. And you see this, by the way, in all the websites, well, most of the websites, that says in very, very small letters, problem with gambling? Look here.
They're required.
They're supposed to have that. Mm-hmm. And I've actually looked at this out for another show, and not every website has that.
Well, and also at all the ATMs and cash cages, they have to have the brochures with the setting sun on them that says when the fun stops.
Ah, right. Or when your heart stops. Or when your wife shoots you. Any of those things happen, give us a call. So I don't know. And live chat, before we close up this segment, do you guys have an opinion on this? How about when the fun ends pamphlet? What do you guys think in the live chat? Should 18-year-olds be allowed to gamble in Nevada? What do you guys think?
While you're tabulating responses, let me tell you a quick funny about those when the fun stops brochures and problem gambling you talked about in Nevada. A lot of people don't realize this. You can actually go to a casino and you can tell them that you have a problem and that you would like to be excluded from the casino. So that's part of the Nevada regulations.
All right.
The casino will take your picture you go into their book of
the
problem
black
gamblers,
book? Really,
essentially.
Wow.
And that can't be rescinded for, I believe it's either 1 or 2 years. I think it's 1 year, but there's a period where you can't change your mind the next day,
really?
And say, oh, okay,
I
changed
law.
My mind. Exactly. Yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the greatest part about that though. Yeah. So this is put into place and, like I said, it's by state regulation.
Oh, that's actually a good point. Hold on. Go ahead.
But what's hilarious about it though is you're not prohibited from gambling. So when people go through that program that's provided by the state, all it does is it puts the casino on notice not to cash checks, do credit card advances, or issue you credit. You still can go in the casino on your own volition with your own money and still play, right, if you're in the problem gambling book.
Right.
You just, they won't do those cash cage services for you.
Interesting.
But it doesn't stop you from gambling.
Actually, there's a couple of things that happened in the live chat. First, so 66% of the live chat have an opinion one way or the other. What do you think it is? Without looking at the live chat, you cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater.
I'm going to say they are 418.
They're against it. 66% of the live chat is against it. And actually, there's a great line here that says, it would completely fuck it up for us adults. Imagine spring break and a bunch of 18-year-old drunk people gambling. I'm like, you know what? Good
Most
point.
Most of them are already.
Fuck that. I don't
Fake need ID from California.
So, right. Which I used to have.
Mm-hmm. Mine was from New Jersey. Because clearly, don't I sound like I'm from there?
Yo, what's up, Adrian? All right, so that's it.
It's Philadelphia.
If you're, it's the best I can do. Come on, don't hurt me. If you guys are out there, especially again, Neil and everybody else in the UK, let me know how you guys think about this. It'd be interesting to see or hear from folks who live in a country that both allow drinking and gambling at 18. How that affects
or 19.
Them. Or 19. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. No, we're not. Wayne! It's time for listener email. It's part of the show where we take emails from our listeners and viewers.
I was going to say, what about the people watching?
And viewers, and we answer them. But before we do that, let me just say, Capital Grill, go there. Let me just say one more thing about Capital Grill. If you come to Vegas, one of the things that you're supposed to do is find a good place to eat. And there are a number of them. And I guarantee you, Capital Grill is probably not on your radar.
No, because the Review Journal tells you Outback is the best steakhouse.
Right. So don't read the Review Journal while you're here in town, because on behalf of all of us who are intelligent and have an IQ above a small soap dish, we apologize.
Best burger, In-N-Out, baby.
There you have it. Fantastic. Okay. Sorry. Anyways, it's not going to be on your radar, but if you're trying to find a place that just has great food and a great view and great service, you will not do better than Capital Grill. Just check it out. And if it's wrong, you let me know. And they won't be our sponsor anymore. That's right. You have the power to stop sponsorship on the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
Wow.
It's not true, by the way, but that's what we say. Okay, we got a couple questions. Question number one. By the way, if it's a woman who emails, then Wayne reads it. If it's a male, then I'll read it. But today, we're going to make sure that everybody gets a fair shake. So this first one is from Tony. And Tony writes.
Tony writes. Hey, I'm a regular viewer via YouTube and enjoy the podcast about Vegas.
Thank you.
And learn quite a few things about Vegas on your show.
Look at that.
Strangely enough, yeah. Little do they know, we're talking about Las Vegas, New Mexico.
That's right, which is a lovely little burg just outside of nobody gives a shit.
Albuquerque. Isn't everything in New Mexico outside of Albuquerque?
Where else would it be?
I would like to know if you or any others.
It's also unseasonably cold there.
Is it?
By unseasonably cold.
In New Mexico or Las Vegas, New Mexico?
Albuquerque. Mm. You ever been there?
No, I've never been to Kirky.
Fuck, it's cold.
Oh.
It's also about 5,000 feet up or something like that.
Oh.
Nobody knew that either. Snow.
So anyways, back to Tony.
Tony continues.
Remember Paul Harvey? Page two.
Page two. And that's the way it's written.
Do you need your carpets vacuumed? This Bissell will really do. I'd like to know if you or any other... I'm just all about the throwbacks today.
Go.
I'd like to know if you or any others in the live chat can recommend any Vegas daily vloggers on the YouTube. The more the merrier. Sorry, I'm unable to join the live chat because I work during the time and I love Vegas so much. Be there in June.
You work during the time? You work at 7 o'clock at night?
Keep
Are you
up
trying to pay off your college loans?
Maybe they advance their credit cards and play daily fantasy sports.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
So
they're going to be there in June. Keep up the good work. Looking forward to the vodka challenge.
Which is fantastic. 25%. You can't beat that.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't actually.
That gets people in the Hall of Fame in baseball.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does.
Nobody's got 250 fucking batting average.
In the Hall of Fame?
250.
Sure.
250.
Yeah.
What else did they do? They didn't just hit 250, big boy.
All the best, Tony, from Brooklyn, New York.
Were you at the Hall of Fame? No. Lies and more lies from Wayne. You're young and a liar. Okay.
But I gambled at 19.
Great, fantastic. No wonder you're a liar. You're gambling and you're just completely screwed up by the gambling.
My parents actually took me.
To go gamble at 19 or 18?
Yeah, 19. We went to Canada. We went to the blackjack table together.
Did they sign a credit card in your name and do that kind of shit too? Because that's frightening. Don't answer.
Actually, my mother co-signed my first credit card. Mm. Okay, I didn't use it to gamble with.
No.
I was smarter than that.
What'd you do with it?
Oh, I bought a bunch of random stuff.
You gamble. Just not that kind of gambling.
And then what's hilarious is I got a student loan to pay that credit card off.
There you go. Boom, it never ends. Right. Whoa, says Capital One.
I'm doing pretty well right now.
Okay, so yeah, they're, I don't really follow
vloggers.
I don't really follow vloggers as a practice. Not because
you guys don't have like monthly meetings or something?
No, we don't do that. I don't really, I haven't had a meetup in fucking, I don't know, a decade. It's been a while since I've done
it. Well, I just thought you and the other vloggers. Because, I mean, technically, you go to the show's webpage. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast.
And blog.
There you go.
Not vlog. Blog.
Oh. You don't do much blogging.
Not anymore.
No.
I'm busy. Running an empire.
Takes time.
It takes time to build a empire.
Yeah.
Or raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child.
In some cases.
Yeah. So there is a guy who goes by Da Trooper or Trooper 97, who is popular among the live chat people. And he is a poker player guy. And he does a lot of the first person walking around the casino with the camera look and has a real strong following. So I would say if you want, and I think he's pretty, I think it might be daily. He does quite a few of them. It may not be exactly daily, but he does a lot.
It's like a PewDiePie type thing?
No, it's not like that. Because what he does is he just basically has a camera in front of him in a studio and he's just talking to the camera.
Oh, okay.
But this guy does, this Trooper guy, he actually is walking around, you know, Las Vegas. You know, so you could see him occasionally. He's taking pictures of his cards, like, yeah, I got, you know, Ace King, that kind of stuff. But mostly it's him talking about gambling, and I guess he's a big Starbucks guy. So that's one who I think is pretty popular. There's a guy on YouTube also. It's not daily, but he actually does a vlog called Living in Las Vegas.
How have you not sued for copyright infringement yet?
Because you can't. It's difficult to copyright, A, because I don't give a fuck, and B, it's difficult to copyright those words. Living can't do it. Las Vegas can't do it.
Oh, it's a trademark. You can, come on.
So I've already gone through this for Vegas Video Network. So I have trademarked Vegas Video Network, but I didn't trademark the words Vegas Video or Network. It's a combination of those. So could I maybe go after this guy? I just don't give a fuck. And I also copyrighted or trademarked the bug. The logo, that little bug up there, that's trademarked as well. Okay, so this guy's, I forget his name, but he does two kinds of vlogs, this Living in Las Vegas guy. One of them is what's it like to live here, where to find a house, that kind of stuff. So some more stuff that we do. But he also is a bouncer at a strip club, and that's his dark side. So I've seen a couple of his dark videos, very, very different vibe, you know. Chicks with money all over the place, and it's that kind of thing. So if you're into that, those two are probably the way to go. All right.
Question number. By the way,
yes. Fire away.
Guy named I'm trying to find the first name. Schalk, Schalk, Ray Schalk, in the Baseball Hall of Fame, elected in 1955.
You are such an old man.
253 career batting average.
So you didn't bat 250.
Only 11 home runs. In his whole career.
Who did he blow?
Someone in 1955.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Back then, they didn't know how to keep stats. Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, 253 sounds good. Let's put him in. No. All right, next question. Ready?
Just saying I'm Hall of Fame worthy.
253, not 250. 253. Oh, come on.
Now we're going to go to the thousandths place.
Yeah, because sometimes I need to provide you that guidance. Okay, here we go. This is from Mark. Gentlemen. What control does a casino have on how loose slot machines can be? I ask because over the past few years, the machines at Golden Gate have all but shut down on paying out. I assume Derek Stevens needs all the extra money possible to pay for half of Fremont. Can he or any casino executive regulate how loose or how tight a machine is? Cheers, Mark. Mark from 92.9, the game midday producer, co-host, College Football Thursday, Atlanta Braves in-game host.
Used to be a big Braves guy. Hey, the answer to that question is yes, there is. However, it's a low bar to entry. In the state of Nevada, by law, slot machines have to return back at least 75% of the money they keep in. That is lowest in the country. New Jersey, believe it or not, the minimum is 83%.
Well, that's interesting. Of what the How fun
of
is
what
this?
They have to hold.
Good for you.
So 75%. Once you clear that bar, you can set it anywhere you want, from 75 up to 100 if you wanted to. 101. Right. Now there's two ways they change the numbers.
Yep.
The first is you have a technician physically go to the machine and reprogram or change the chip.
Yep.
That takes labor, it takes time, and typically you find that on your older machines, yep, where they're not as technologically savvy and they're not plugged into a server. That brings us to our second type of games, and that's our server-based gaming.
Which I know a little bit about.
Server-based games are all basically, think of an intranet,
yep,
where the machines are all run by a central server.
Yep.
And the rule, and don't quote me on the exact time frames, but I believe the machine only has to be idle, meaning no one's actively playing it. The machine only has to be idle for somewhere between, it's like 5 to 10 to 20 minutes or 10 to 30 minutes, but essentially less than half an hour.
Yeah.
If the machine is idle, the odds on that machine can be changed, yeah, either up or down.
Yep, and that's exactly right. So you'll see, this is the interesting thing from a marketing perspective, is some casinos, obviously, really pitch their payout. So for example, the downtown properties, I'm a little surprised that you're saying a downtown property isn't paying out the same. Kind of surprised. But if you look at billboards around downtown, you'll see, for example, the El Cortez speaks a great deal of being, it's called the loosest slots. So they have the loosest slots in Nevada or in Las Vegas. And that is one of their very strong PR plays and marketing plays is, you know, you come to our place and you know, you'll be okay. You've also probably seen, or you may have seen, casinos that say, oh yeah, oh look at that, I'm green. Oh, that's fucking great. Fucking TriCaster. Fucking. The other thing that you'll see sometimes. Look at that.
Oh, that's me, probably.
There we go. Another thing that happens is you may have seen. No, I'm still green. Jesus Christ. Don't touch that wire, okay?
I'm trying not to. I'm 6 foot. There's a lot of. Yeah.
How about now?
Now there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is weird. Okay. So the other thing that you may have seen, that's better. Well, now I'm kind of red. Fuck, I just won't use that camera. The other thing is you may have seen casinos that say, oh yeah, we pay back over 100%. 101% returns on our games.
Video poker, usually you see that.
How does that work?
That's calculated over the life of the machine, and that can be anywhere from 20 to 30 years.
Yeah. Oh, and how many machines?
Just any one machine in that bank where that's advertised.
Right. So they can say, yeah, we have 101% payback. Two questions. Over how long a time? 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
How many of these machines? One. Which machine?
Good luck.
Oh, we're not going to tell you that far.
Good luck.
We can't give you everything because that wouldn't be fair, right? So, yeah, again, a tip from your buddy Scott and your uncle Wayne. If you're coming to Vegas to make money, especially on those there slot machines, that may not have been the smartest thing you've ever done.
I'm trying to find the state gaming control board every year or every 6 months, they actually publish the hold percentages around town, not for specific. But for so